Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:08 in St. Louis. Welcome into the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. I'm Charlie Marlowe, filling in for Tim McKernan. We have Jay Jr. filling in for the Cat. Doug is always here.
Yeah.
We have Plowsy, Iggy, Sea Monster, just a huge cast.
Sneaky V.
Getting you ready for Thanksgiving.
Well, hello, Chuck. Hello,
good morning.
Jay, Iggy, Plowsy, CZ.
How do we get them ready, Chuck?
We prepare them. We break down the best side dishes.
Okay.
We talk about Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
We fill time until 10 o'clock if we have nothing else to talk about.
Right.
That's what we do. We read live spots.
What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving?
Correct. That'll happen probably around
855-282.
I wouldn't mind doing that.
920.
Just maybe one or two things you're thankful for.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
This is the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour. Design Air Heating and Cooling has over 75 HVAC technicians, so they always provide fast and friendly service. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train.
Yeah.
The Captain's Log, Doug, brought to you by Four Seasons Penske Truck,
okay.
845. This segment does have an open. It's Kelly Chase, brought to you by Petromart, talking Blues. How about that game last night, Doug? 8-3.
We got the best team in the world, I think.
Best team in the world, yeah. Best line in the world. 12 points from that line.
Plowsy is fired up.
Best city in the world.
Best city in the world.
Slow that roll. Let's be careful.
Best place in the world that Stanton wants to come play, most likely. So Kelly Chase talking Blues at 8:45, 9:05. Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com discussing the huge news that we learned about yesterday with Michael Porter Jr. Email of the day presented by Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Plops leads Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech for the month of November 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
Text of the day, free cheesesteak from the Post. Email of the day, you get the suspension special at Hot Shots. You can win Blues tickets anytime they play on Tuesday night, just by watching the game at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Check out Ticket Tuesdays all Blue season long at one of Hot Shots' 11 area locations. That is.
Mm-hmm.
Should we start out with some actual sports and break down this Michael Porter Jr.? What do you think?
Yeah. How do you break it down? Because the latest, it's at least 3 months. Is that right?
Yeah, it'll be all season.
It'll be all season.
Know,
you don't see
well.
Him coming back for the SEC tournament or the NCAA tournament? Okay.
Especially in light of, I saw several stories where NBA scouts were questioned about how this will affect his future, and they were saying, well, he'll go in the top five of the draft.
How?
Based on how great he was in high school, I guess.
If his back is checks out, he will go in the top five, according to, and I saw Jay Williams yesterday, former Duke player.
Mm-hmm.
Say that he may go one, but if his back checks out, he's a top five, and there's no reason for him to even play basketball at Mizzou.
No, I don't think he will. I don't think if I was him, I don't believe I would.
Why would you?
I don't know. This is going to be a deep draft as far as college talent, so maybe he does stay. I still think he wants to play in college, and I still think there. You know, if he gets drafted at 19, if he gets drafted at 20, I don't think.
But Plowsy,
that's a huge deal, and I'm sure his family doesn't need the money. You know, I think he would like to enjoy his college day. So I don't know if I would be too shocked if he actually came back.
But
I don't know.
How do you come back if you know that you're going to be drafted five or lower?
What if he blows out his knee when he comes back?
Yeah, what then ruins it all.
You got to take the money when you can get it, especially that kind of money.
And they mentioned a player, and I'd never heard of this person before, but a player that was didn't even go to college. He had to wait a year, so he just worked out right after high school for a year. And in a pickup game, he was going to be a top three pick. In a pickup game, blew out his knee, wasn't drafted, cost himself probably $75 million.
Right.
So if you're Michael Porter, you know, his family may have a little bit of money, but he's not playing basketball at Mizzou. Trust me.
You can't blame him. And it's such a shame. Doggone it. This stuff always happens to Mizzou. It always does.
Why?
I don't know.
The rocks, man.
We even joked about it before we started. I remember joking about this, saying, well, they got the top player in the country. I wonder what's going to happen now. And I'll be darned if he didn't last 2 minutes.
This is a 30 for 30.
It's terrible.
It's a, what if I told you the greatest recruit in Mizzou basketball history only scored one basket? That is probably going to be the absolute truth. And as you said, it's just such a disappointment for a team. 3 years of losing seasons. You get the number one player in the country. And don't get me wrong, there's still other reasons to be excited. You have some other really good players there. And if Michael Porter Jr. only plays 2 minutes in his career for Missouri, he has still really helped the program by bringing his brother Jonte. You got to think that Jeremiah Tillman probably doesn't come there.
Right.
And some of these other recruits don't come there. You have local kids like a Torrance Watson who already committed for next year. So I think the Michael Porter Jr. kind of excitement train has already helped the program. But still, it's so disappointing because we all looked so forward to watching this kid play and hopefully take the Tigers to the NCAA tournament. I would think now, without Michael Porter Jr., to me, this is not an NCAA tournament team. They struggled with Emporia State at home. And I'm not saying they're not going to be better than that, but I think it's hard to take the best player off your team and expect that team to win 20 games, you know, with a really young core and do some special things that a lot of people thought they could.
Yeah. Most of the other top players are freshmen, so they're probably not ready to make a serious run. But when you look at the excitement there when they played Kansas in an exhibition game, I mean, the people were coming unglued with all that. And now that so much of that air has just been sucked right out of the ball.
And how do you, you know, I don't know, I'm not an X's and O's guy, but Quanzo had this team built around Michael Porter.
Sure.
Everybody had their own way of playing with Michael Porter in a lineup. Now they all have to kind of change the way they play their game. Can they do that?
You wonder if this doesn't sound like the kind of injury that he would have, or that anybody would suffer in warmups before a game. Because that's when they were saying he got hurt in that Iowa State game, was apparently in warmups before. Herniated disc, that doesn't sound like what you do shooting layups.
Well, I said this 2 weeks ago, right when he was taken out 2 minutes in, it seemed to me as if they withheld an injury, or he at least withheld this injury prior to the game, because there is no way, because you even watch the tape of him just warming. I mean, there's no extensive body movement in a shoot around warm up in college basketball. Yeah. So an injury like that had to have happened beforehand, whether the team disclosed that information and wanted him to play or whether he disclosed that from the team. I don't know, but it just no way that happened in a warm up. There's just no way.
No, I would be surprised if it did too. And you look at that Kansas game, and even though he was good, he wasn't quite as good as we thought he was going to be. So it could be that it's been something that has bothered him. And then when he really started to hit it, just max effort, it really nagged at him.
Did anybody ever think vertebrae, though? I mean, the things you hear, it was his knee, it was his hip, it ends up being his vertebrae.
And if you read from Dave Matter's article, which is really good, has a lot of really good information on the medicals. And in the past here, I'm reading from his article, it says, in April, Porter sat out of the Jordan Brand Classic All-Star Game for what was described as a sore back. Late last month, he appeared to hurt his back during a practice inside Mizzou Arena, a source confirmed, though he was cleared to start in the team's opener against Iowa State. So I think hip, low back, those things, they're kind of connected, and this herniated disc, or discectomy as it's called, apparently that will kind of show, one of the symptoms will be leg pain. And I think everybody talked with Dr. Rick yesterday because it's kind of our playbook. Dr. Rick knows what he's doing, orthopedic surgeon, when you have a sports medicine situation. And he said this is a common thing. He said it's a rotational deal where if he did just kind of come down in warmups the wrong way, that's something that could be the final straw to kind of get this thing going, where maybe he had this, you know, these back issues he'd had that are just minor, you know, maybe finally it just crept up and this was the one that put it over the edge. But Dr. Rick said that this is a procedure that it's very common. It's not some very complicated surgery. He even said 3 months, which, you know, that's the low end.
Right.
But if you do the math there, that's February 21st. It just seems like Michael Porter Jr. is not going to risk it. And again, if you read from Dave Matter's article, I think this is very interesting as well. And he writes here, until Tuesday, Porter's status had only been described as a tweaked hip and leg injury. He goes on to say here, there's some medical stuff that's very interesting. I'm trying to find it. Basically, that the Missouri medical staff did not think that surgery was necessarily what they needed to do. That you could treat it and potentially he could come back. Here we go, right here. The team's medical staff didn't believe surgery was necessary and hoped its treatment plan would help Porter recover in time to rejoin the team at some point this season. Not until Tuesday. Tuesday, it was not a foregone conclusion within the program that Porter would opt for surgery, a source said. That's until they flew to Dallas to meet with this specialist and then obviously have the surgery. So you have some differing medicals, and that's normal that somebody would want to get a second opinion, but clearly Michael Porter and the Porter family didn't side with the Missouri medical staff.
They went on their own.
On the prognosis.
Yeah. Well, he must have been in considerable pain at that age and with all he's got to lose to agree to undergo back surgery. He must have been in some pain, I would think. I mean, if it just felt kind of sore, you wouldn't say, sure, I'll have surgery. So it must really be bothering him.
And this doesn't just hit like the Missouri campus. And I like to bash Missouri a lot, but as an Illinois fan, this sucks because we're
changes the game of the big game.
Missouri and Illinois are kind of in the same boat to where they've been a basic laughingstock in each of their conferences, representative conferences, and have a good recruiting class. Obviously, Missouri with a little bit better recruiting class. Mm-hmm. And you're just waiting for that rise, you know, waiting for that. And this hurts because even as an Illinois fan, I still like when Missouri is relevant because those games matter in the long run, and it sucks even as an Illinois fan.
Well, basketball is happening. Basketball has been off the landscape for a lot of people the last couple of years. We talked about the last couple of years that Missouri Illinois game, Plowsy, and people. I mean, the way it used to be and what it used to be like, and mm-hmm. college basketball in this region, what it used to be. And there was this whole building of expectations and that basketball was going to be back and the bragging rights game was going to mean something again. And it's really unfortunate because it changes the way you feel.
I suppose best case scenario, if they're saying 3 months, that would put you late February.
But is that with treatment and like...
I don't know if they're saying he's out 3 months, if he could be back 3 months. And sometimes the super athletes heal a little quicker than the rest of us. Remember when Albert Pujols broke his arm in about 2 weeks?
I don't know what that was all about.
But why would he change? Why would he risk it?
I don't know. I'm just saying best case scenario for Mizzou, he comes back right at the end of February. They get into the tournament and he gets to play in the tournament for them. I suppose... That
would be great.
That would be the
I think that would all depend on what Missouri's record is at the beginning of February if he starts to think about whether he's going to be working out for the NBA Combine or whether he's going to be working out for the NCAA tournament. I still think Missouri is not a terrible team. These early games are really hard to judge a young team, but once the SEC comes into play and maybe Tillman gets out of foul trouble every game, they could be a tournament team.
They won't be terrible at all. They've still got like five-star recruits.
I mean,
you
don't bury the team yet. I mean, it's going to be more difficult to go to games knowing that the number one player in the country is not playing, but still, they're still a decent team.
Yeah, I would think they're going to be better than decent.
And I think bragging rights will still be interesting, and I think it'll be a good game. Clearly, it's not as interesting, but if you're getting the news yesterday and you're the St. Louis Sports Commission, and you got bragging rights, and then you have the SEC tournament at Scottrade Center, which, again, will still be really fun.
Sure.
And Kentucky, I'm sure, is going to be a good team. And I don't think Mizzou now is going to have a losing season by any means. I think Mizzou should be much better still than last year. Now, whether they're right around 500 or two or three games higher, I don't know. But, again, having the number one recruit in the country is just an absolutely huge draw. And... let's be honest, we're probably not going to have that for the SEC tournament, and we're probably not going to see Michael Porter Jr. again in a Mizzou uniform, even though, you know, I believe the kid when he said before the season that he wanted to leave a legacy. And when he was always asked about one and done, he said that's not necessarily true. Now, I think even in his heart, he probably thinks that, but he's smart enough. And then you realize once the season ends and you start to have companies that want to come to you for endorsements. You realize how much money you're going to make in the NBA. And you get why this kid, it's really not worth it for him to risk anything. If he can play 2 minutes of college basketball and still be a top five pick in the draft.
After having back surgery,
you got to go. We would all go.
Teams take risks like that, and teams don't mind. I mean, you look at the Sixers' MO, and Bede sat out for, I mean, look at Fultz has been out almost the whole season. So
with Simmons sat out with him an entire year.
If I don't get the stat line, maybe I won't draft into the top five. These teams are looking at 5-6 years down the line. So he could be drafted still in the top three, but for me, I still think there's a chance he'll come back and play for Missouri.
There's no chance.
He only played 2 minutes. It's hard for me to think that a kid would just leave after that.
Backs and necks are so tricky. You never know. Yeah. I got it fixed. That'll never happen again.
Wrong.
It seems like they're always. Ask Tiger Woods about a back injury.
Yep.
If you can grab the millions and it's out there and you don't even have to prove that you're better again, I think you have to do it.
And you expected with Porter in the lineup, this team probably better than a bubble team. But if this team somehow is a bubble team, you have a better chance of getting picked if they knew Michael Porter was playing. I mean, he's a draw.
Yeah.
So if you're on the bubble in, out, and you have Michael Porter on your team, chances are we got to put him in. We got to put Mizzou in because this kid is special. Without him there, then that's probably,
You know, Chuck said it earlier that you know, this kid coming, whether it was for a year, your hope was that along with Konzo Martin, that it was going to be able to start to, you know, re-energize the program, and you're going to build on that. The hope is, hey, you still recruited him, he still came, he was going to play, and hopefully you can get some residual effects from that in your recruiting. That's going to be, you know, that's what it all comes down to, and is recruiting.
There's still another 3 or 4 Porter kids younger than him. So it could be one of the younger brothers is just as good.
Well, that's never been a knock on Martin as a recruiter.
Right.
At Tennessee, Washington. I mean, he had great classes, or California, great classes. He just couldn't get him past the Sweet 16 or the first round. So that was never the knock on him. He can recruit. Can he coach?
Michael Porter Jr. is going to go to the NBA and become the next Kevin Durant or something, and we're going to be left with the next 20 years thinking, we could have had him. He didn't play it. He couldn't get past 2 minutes at Mizzou.
We talked about it yesterday, and Chuck put it in perspective when he said the best basketball recruit that you ever had signed only plays 2 minutes. The thought is that the best football recruit you ever had, while not a lot of the young people don't know it, never played a down.
Tony Van Zandt?
Yeah.
I think he played a little, but he was just kind of
mediocre. Came back, yeah.
And maybe the next best recruit, Doriel Beckham Green, had to get run out.
Hasta la vista.
Problems off the field.
Yep.
Text line, 855-282-8255. Somebody saying, we all bought season tickets because of him. Still greatly helped the program. Really sucks, though. Another person says, Bragging Rights tickets on StubHub dropped by $15 soon after MPJ announcement.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
But what do you think the attendance at Mizzou games will be now?
It'll still be high. It could be that one of these other guys
steps up.
Yeah, that Jonte steps up or Tillman steps up and becomes, you know.
Maybe somebody that wouldn't have gotten the opportunities necessarily, or as many opportunities with a Michael Porter team, gets more opportunities and does something.
They could also make a big trade.
No.
Right. Before the deadline.
No.
You have the international signing pool.
Some of these schools, like Louisville, pay free agents to come.
Right. They also pay prostitutes to come try to get those recruits. Right.
Who's that kid from Duke that's supposed to be?
Oh.
Is it Bland?
No, Bagley.
Marvin Bagley.
Right, in front of supposedly he was one, and Michael Porter was two.
And he's dominating, too.
But he reclassified, right? I'm pretty sure Michael Porter was number one in his class, and then this Marvin Bagley Jr., just like Jonte, reclassified into this class. Like, he's actually supposed to be a high school senior. Just like Jonte Porter just turned 18 years old.
Yeah, this Duke team that Duke has this year is the best. I think the best team they've had, and it could rival some of the best freshman class ever. Their point guard, Duval, is one of the best players I've ever watched. He's fantastic.
In basketball and hockey, I suppose, it's possible to go right from high school and be a star in the NBA and the NHL. Nobody does it in baseball. Now, obviously, nobody does it in football. Why do you suppose that is, in baseball anyway? Nobody ever comes right out of high school and is a big star.
Well, probably because in high school,
nobody's throwing 90.
Yeah, you're using aluminum bats.
What, a pitcher who throws 98 in high school would throw 98 in the major leagues.
Didn't they try that with David Clyde?
They haven't. It doesn't work.
It doesn't.
You need more than a fastball in Major League Baseball.
That's a pretty good start.
Yeah, but you come in as a high school kid throwing 98 and you don't have a curveball, you don't have a slider or nothing. I mean, Major League Baseball.
You're assuming he doesn't have a curveball. There are some who've been
Do you think in baseball it's somewhat the way it's structured with the minor leagues and just a progression? Or
it used to be they would do that. A guy like Al Kaline went right from high school to start in right field for the Detroit Tiger. That was back in the bonus baby days, where if you gave him a bonus of so much money, they had to go immediately to the major leagues. And Tony La Russa, happened to Tony La Russa. And there were others, Bob Bailey and Al Kaline was another one. But they don't have that rule anymore. And so now you never really see somebody go right from high school to the pro. And that's some of the greatest hockey players we've ever seen have been there at 18
or
19
years old. I mean,
Harper
made a quick jump. I think he played 6 months in the minors. I think he was 18.
He also went to college.
But he also...
Well, he went to...
He went to junior college in Vegas.
Yeah, his is a weird deal. He went to junior college as like a 16, 17-year-old or...
Yeah, he did basically the baseball version of reclassifying and graduated early.
He'd be the closest one to have pulled that off.
I mean, he was one of the youngest ones that I've seen play or start out their career. Yeah. So.
Wasn't Mussina kind of young when he started?
I don't remember.
I think he went to college, but I don't think he spent much time. But that's up to the player, too. I mean, a lot of these players are drafted out of high school, and if they're not like a high first round, they go to college because the bonus money isn't as great, and you go back to college for, I think, is it a year? And if you don't come out after a year, you got to wait three?
Well, it depends. If you go to JUCO.
You can go any year out of junior college. You got to wait for 3 years if you go to a four.
Text line coming, Ken Griffey Jr. and A-Rod. I do believe A-Rod went right to the, I don't know.
A-Rod played for the Appleton Foxes.
Did he? Okay.
I think A-Rod played in the majors as a 19-year-old. Griffey, we'll look it up here. I think if you're a high school kid, if you're one of these high school arms that can throw 100, I bet you could go from high school to being a relatively successful bullpen arm.
I'm not saying
a closer, but if you throw 100 and you have some type of secondary pitch, it wouldn't surprise me if you could take that kid and put him into a major league bullpen, and he would be okay. I'm not saying he would be the best guy, but I think a lot of times it's, if you're a starter, how many innings are you throwing in a high school season? And maybe you play summer ball, but maybe you throw 100 innings, maybe you throw 80 innings.
Well, but nowadays they're on these select teams that travel and play all the time.
Right, but still, I mean, if a pitcher is drafted, his first year in the minors as a starter, I think a team might throw him 125 innings and try to build him up maybe 25-ish innings per year to try to get him to a mark where by the time he's 23, 24, he can get close to 180, 200 innings.
It says Griffey was drafted, obviously, first overall in 87. It was 19 in 1989 when he made his first full season, had 16 bombs, 61 ribbies. It doesn't look like he went straight from the jump to high school.
I think with pitchers, though, I mean, there's a reason that none of them come right out of high school and go straight into the major leagues, because you haven't had a chance to see what they do against major league hitting. Hey, he's great in high school. He's coming to spring training, and if he does good in spring training, he's on our team. I think they want to see how he does against major league hitters, and you have to do that in the minor leagues.
Right, that's true, but you would think it would be easier to do it as a pitcher than a hitter. I mean, high school hitters face nothing in terms of pitching compared to what they're going to see. I mean, there's guys who hit 500 in high school, but if you're throwing upwards of 98, 99 miles an hour, that's going to translate. Whether you can handle it mentally or not, that's probably the big thing.
And A-Rod did appear for Seattle as an 18-year-old, but only had 59 plate appearances. So he obviously played in the minor before that, probably a September call-up, and played the rest of the year.
And that was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They don't really seem to do that anymore. Well, some of the Latin players come up pretty young.
And if you're a baseball player in high school, you're one of the best players in the country. I don't want to say it doesn't matter what you do in your high school season, but that doesn't matter nearly as much as all these showcase circuits in the summer, like Perfect Game, where you go there and you play games and you kind of do scouting situations where they obviously test your velocity and you take BP and you run the 60-yard dash. And you know, I've read articles where those Perfect Game showcases, literally every college in the country will be there, because you don't have to travel. If you know the best players in the country are all going to be at these three or four showcases, and that's where, like Iggy said, it's so hard to judge competition for baseball because, A, they're using aluminum bats, and so sometimes you got pitchers that are mowing down kids who are going to, you know, not make their college D3 team, and then you have some kids hitting who are facing guys throwing 81 miles an hour. But if you go to these showcases where it is the elite talent, the college players or the draft eligible, you know, the guys who are going to be drafted playing against each other, you can kind of see a more even playing field.
But in hockey, it's kind of the same thing. You don't know how some 17-year-old kid is going to play in the NHL against guys who are 10 years older and 30 pounds heavier and more experienced. You don't really know whether his game is going to be able to
some of those Russian kids,
level.
Tarasenko, I mean, they play in the pros at 16. They're playing, you know, 25, 26-year-old adults.
And they're, they're able to do it.
Some of the sector guy, you can judge about how they're going to be against those talent. But, you know, some of the American-born players, you can't as much.
I think the difference there with hockey, too, is it's almost a professional track starting at a much younger age. If you're a really good hockey player,
you get kind of selected.
You're going to leave Chaminade for you know, if you play at Chaminade, you're going to play for one season, whatever it is. You're going to go play juniors when you're what? 14, 15. And again, that's kind of the precursor to your professional career. So it's almost like you're on that professional track starting from age 14 or 15 as opposed to baseball where once you graduate high school at 18, you kind of start to really ratchet up your prospects.
And I think in hockey, too, I mean, you can see a check's a check. I mean, if you're getting checked, if you're the star player and you get checked by somebody that's 210 pounds, or you get checked by somebody that's 230, if you're fast, you can handle the puck, and you have a great shot, I think you can
play. Doug, my homework assignment for you is to YouTube Sidney Crosby at 14 years old. At 14, you could tell this guy is going to be the number one.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Not every guy, but more guys now, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, they're on the same path to where at 14 or 15, you can tell these guys, just getting a little bigger in the weight room and maturity, these guys are studs. And not everybody you can judge like that, but the first round picks, you can kind of tell they're going to be superstars. Well,
the all-time superstars are usually great at a very young age. Very young age. Hardly anybody develops into one of the greatest players of all time in their mid-20s.
But I'm saying hockey seems to be more common that every year the top three or four picks, most of those actually pan out to be really, really good players. Unlike baseball, there's a lot of busts in the top three or four, and in football, it's hit or miss as well.
Look how good Tim was when he was young.
Oh, man, was he he was just the greatest. You know? I don't think he made any of the high school teams, but that was all politics. Where's it going?
Plowsy, check this out for me. I looked this up the other day, and I believe it's on Wikipedia, but they'll show the hockey stats for players down when they're playing like squirt and midget.
And they're 300 points.
But I'm just saying, check out Sidney Crosby's numbers because it's pretty amazing. And they have his stats from like when he was 14 and he's, you know, scored 90 goals in 40 games or something crazy like
Gretzky
that.
Gretzky was the same way. He was over 100. They didn't know where to put him because he wasn't very big. And they didn't know, well, we can't have him play against guys 3 or 4 years older. They'll crunch him. But he was so much better than the competition his age, they kind of didn't know what to do with
him. And there aren't even that many in NHL. I mean, you have the McDavid, you have the Crosbys, but there aren't a ton of like first, second, third, fourth, fifth overall picks that go straight from the draft to the team. They play a little bit of minor league hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I think 1978, at least from what I'm reading, was the last time that a high school player in Major League, went directly from high school to Major League Baseball.
David Clyde?
There were a couple. There were Brian Milner.
Milsey.
Went from Fort Worth Southwest High School to the Blue Jays in 78.
I don't remember him.
And also that same year, Mike Morgan went from Valley High School in Nevada to the Athletics.
And then played on 14 or 15 different teams.
He played
including
for everybody.
Here.
Did Van Poppel go to
Todd Van?
He did not go directly, but it was close.
I think he was Stanford.
No, he went from high school.
Van Poppel did?
Yeah. He went from directly from high school. I was looking him up earlier.
I think one of the problems.
But he went from high school to the minors. I mean, he didn't go. He didn't.
But
go
he went
to
pretty quickly up to the.
He moved.
Big club,
they drafted four in the first round that year. When they drafted Van Poppel, they also drafted three other pitchers, and two of them, including Van Poppel, made it to the bigs.
I think one of the big differences would be, in baseball, it is such an individual sport. There's so much pressure on you as an individual to make the right pitch or to get the hit, Whereas in hockey or basketball, there's a flow to the game. You run around. You can pass it to somebody else if you want. It's not just all
the team
on
aspect.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. The other one was Tim Conroy in 1978, Gateway Senior High School in Pennsylvania to the Oakland A's.
Yeah, Chuck, I'm looking at here. His and juniors, Crosby, I'm trying to find it here. 66 goals, 102 assists, and 62 games.
That's pretty
good. That's 168 points in 62 games. That guy ain't good at every level, you know, and you don't get all those, you know, not everybody can be judged like that, but.
No, again, you're talking about one of the top 10 players in the history of the game.
Yeah, but I just said Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, these guys just came out the last couple years. And those guys at 13, 14, 15 years old, you can already tell that they're superstars.
By the time they're 32, they may also be one of the top 10 players in the game. Because you're talking about superstars right
now.
And you're right, Jay Jr. Van Poppel drafted directly out of high school, 14th overall by the A's. The Braves wanted to draft him.
He said no,
number
right?
one overall. He said no. Yeah. Which is great for the Braves because they drafted a guy named Chipper Jones.
Hello.
Who will be the headlining player for the 2018 Hall of Fame class.
And he probably spent 2 years in the minors? Not much.
Chipper?
Yeah.
So Mike Lee was on the line, Sea Monster, but he's hung up. Oh, man. Hey, Mike Lee's been a little more active lately, especially calling Fox, too. He's calling again two or three times a night. He took a break for a while.
Did he?
Done with 590.
Oh, I don't know. Here, he calls the TV station still.
He's apparently, last night or recently, he's going to a game, a hockey game with Penny. And I know from my Facebook Messenger, there's a lot always going on with Carly. Of course, Iggy and Carly went to the Gaga show.
Right, they seem kind of tight.
They did, yep.
This is the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour, Doug. Design Air Heating and Cooling has over 75 HVAC technicians, so they always provide fast and friendly service. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. So much hardcore sports talk. Should we mix it up a little more?
Okay, sure.
How about some
hookers in here.
All right, what? Okay. Besides getting people ready for Thanksgiving, we have a lot of fun with audio. Plowsy, I did hear this Mike Leach wedding advice, which I think is really good. What else do you recommend here?
That actually is my number one.
Okay.
I think it's very blunt and honest and very accurate too. Doug, I think you'd agree with him as well.
So it's kind of a long clip, but I think it's worth the price of admission. Mike Leach, of course, head coach at Washington State, having a really good season. Doug, they have the big rivalry game, the Apple Cup versus Washington.
Apple Cup.
And Washington State is a very good program. But this is a guy.
Wazoo?
Wazoo. He doesn't take himself too seriously. He'll talk X's and O's, but he likes to kind of go off the beaten path. And so a reporter asked him about wedding advice because I believe this reporter is
getting
about
married
to get
in 9 days.
Yeah, is going to get married in 9 days.
Okay.
The women lose their mind. Your fiance is going to lose her mind. Your mother-in-law is going to lose her mind. Your mom is going to lose her mind. Several of your sisters and female relatives are going to lose their mind. And they're going to barrage you with constant questions. What should we wear? And then, which, of course, my answer was, I don't care. And then, what color should the invitations be? I don't care. What should we have for dessert? I don't care.
Right.
Should we seat this way or that way? I don't care. But see, I don't care is not satisfactory at all. And you're going to get caught in a catch-22, and I'm certain that you already have. And that catch-22 is, well, I want you to be a part of this, too. So what color invitations? All right, the blue ones. Well, I kind of like the tan ones. Okay, the tan ones then. Oh, you're just saying that because you
right
want this
money.
Oh, you're not even thinking about it, which is of course true. What do you want for dessert? I was thinking of strawberry shortcake. Oh, okay. Yeah, strawberry shortcake would be good. Well, what about the blueberry pie? Well, I like the blueberry pie. We could have the blueberry pie. Well, I thought you said you wanted the strawberry shortcake. And it's just going to go back and forth. And they're going to play keep away from you until after you're married. There's no answer you can give that is going to be satisfactory or correct. And if you successfully please a few of them, the others will still be, oh, well, I just don't feel like he's that interested. Yeah, okay, so you need to work late. go in the back room and read a lot of books. And in the end, you'll wish you elope.
Man, he's absolutely right. How about on the that? Money.
I love Mike Leach, by the way. I hope he gets a big job, but right, I like him in Washington
State. Money with
too.
All of that.
So funny.
If you could have the money back that was spent on your wedding, would you take it? Or would you just stay with the way it
and
was
just,
that
and
day?
Just elope and
just in theory, go to the judge, go to the court, whatever. Here's the you know, from your perspective. Not your gal's perspective, but would you just take the money that was spent on your wedding and forget the day?
Now, is this under the guise that you paid for it, for example, as opposed to
no parents paid matter for who paid for it? I don't care who paid for it. I don't care whether Mike Claiborne paid for it.
No, just the parents. I think what Jay's saying is, the parents of who pays for the wedding? The bride's
parents. Right. Hopefully, if they've got any.
Say your
fiance.
They
split it sometimes.
Yeah.
So
Chuck,
expensive.
Say your fiance's parents came to you and said, "All right, it's going to cost us $12,000 in this wedding. You can either have the wedding or go elope, and we'll give you the $12,000."
Yeah, $12,000. Dream on.
Yeah.
More like 40,
I've never been married. I'm
40
throwing out a number.
50. It's
100.
100,000.
My wedding
absurd.
Would be White Castle somewhere in a strip mall.
I'm right. So cheap.
I'd be invited.
For my
I
wedding.
Hope.
I loved our wedding, so I'm sticking with the wedding.
You are sticking with the
I'm
wedding.
Sticking with the wedding.
Good for you.
And even though I could see why somebody want to say, okay, let's go lesser potentially on the wedding.
Yep.
But still have a party. Like, to me, you want to have some type of celebration.
Like some of the people that just fly down to Jamaica or Mexico or whatever, do the quick wedding, come home, and then have a reception.
Back in like 2006, one of my really good buddies had a wedding in Jamaica where we all went, but probably the total amount of people that went, maybe 50, but he's from kind of central Indiana, so comes back home and a week later
has the bash.
Had the reception at a nice hall. Didn't walk down the aisle, you know, but had a reception where the people locally, his family and friends could come. And that's a nice way to have the best of both worlds. But you know what? We had a great wedding, and I would not
How many
trade
did you have at your wedding?
For the world. I think about 200, maybe a little over 200.
I was there. I think the knee-jerk reaction for a lot of people, a lot of guys, is to say, give me the cash.
Right.
We'll buy a house. We'll start a business. We'll get rid of the bills.
But isn't that a smarter choice than the wedding? And Grant, I'm not taking a shot at Chuck because weddings are fun, and I know they are important. But I think putting it, if you don't, this all depends on if you have a little cash on the side or if you have absolutely nothing to start out with. For me, it'd probably be the nothing ladder. And so I would consider taking the $12,000 and getting a house or doing something like that. But
again,
that's because I would have nothing outside of that wedding.
Yeah, you'd be doing really
you know
good
I mean?
To get off with at $12,000 these
well,
days.
Well, I'm throwing I don't out think, Iggy's number. Give me $20,000. That's
right.
Even more. So
but again,
an easier decision for me.
Financially, clearly, that's the better decision to take the money. But you have to realize for women.
The gals.
It's a big deal.
This is a day that they've dreamed about since they're old enough to know that they want to get married someday. This is the day where they're in
day.
The spotlight.
Their
where they,
day.
It, for their family, for the mother. It's all about the bride. And as much as it makes sense to say it's crazy to spend, and some of the money you spend is crazy, why you need to spend thousands of dollars on flowers, I don't know. Or fancy table setting.
Sure.
That stuff could all be eliminated, I think. But it is important for the girls to have their day and to be the bride and get walked down the aisle by their father or someone else that they love. That's hugely important for them.
Doug, I'd like to ad-lib to a Ryan Kelly read, because how about this... This text coming in right now.
What's that?
Somebody's saying their name is Out of TP at BP. Says,
oh, no.
I'd like to give a shout out to the title sponsor and a great American, Ryan Kelly. He asked me about my mortgage while we used the urinals during the second intermission at the Blues game last night.
Really?
He fist bumped me, called me a great American, and then the Blues won 8-3. Best night of my life.
You don't fist bump
having
while you're
the
using
time
the
of his life.
Yeah, were they next to each other in the urinal fist bumping while they're leaking?
They wash their hands first.
Okay, that's good.
But Ryan Kelly, he's a great conversationalist in a restroom potentially, but also a great mortgage lender.
Emphasis on the latter.
Correct.
How you get a hold of the guy?
Yeah, well, I was thinking maybe you'd tell
you
us.
Do a you live pick up maybe
live. Yeah, I you could tell us more
we
about
We had one today. What, we
Ryan
had,
Kelly.
I thought that was already the live read. Somebody saw him in the room.
I just figured you'd also throw out the telephone.
Well,
number.
I would just like to point out at this point, because I think it's a good time, that almost 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, especially those who hang out in restrooms, and they have less than $1,000 in their bank account. The Home Loan Expert Team, led by our own Ryan Kelly, can help you save a few $100 a month and skip a few months of mortgage payments. Let him help you stop living paycheck to paycheck. Ryan Kelly and his folks can do that. I have refinanced twice with Ryan Kelly, taken a little bit of money out, paid off some bills, paid some tuition, and boy, did it work for me. I got what I want. I got a much lower mortgage rate, and I'm saving hundreds of dollars a month. And potentially, I went down to a 15-year, Jay.
15?
Boy, if you can get down to a 15-year at almost the same rate, or a lower rate
that's
than
great.
The 30-year, and the payment was very similar. So,
right.
And it's what you ought to do, too. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert Team work hard so you don't have to. If you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why you want to go anywhere else, man? Call Ryan at 314-781.
Whoa. What's the number?
Here's the number. Call Ryan at 314-781-9700 or visit thehomeloanexpert.com.
Also, Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Some good texts. A caller, Ellen, weighing in. Nothing like a bunch of dudes talking about how women feel about their wedding day.
Oh, now.
What, women don't like their wedding day?
No, she was basically just saying that we can't really speak to the women's condition.
Think as time has progressed, it appears to me that some gals are more willing to forego that day and potentially do something smaller to maybe get more of a dowry.
I think for those of us...
Good word, dowry. I love that.
Those of us who don't make $700,000 a year, maybe the wedding culture will change and it will stop being so outrageously expensive.
Right. I disagree with that.
That it will become okay maybe to have
a little
scaled down version of it so that you're not so that somebody's not left with a $70,000 or $80,000 bill to pick up.
Well, here's a novel concept. Just marry a rich broad. And you have the wedding, and your parents are going to float you some money for a house anyway.
It's not that easy to do.
Isn't that what everybody's looking for?
Yeah, rich broad.
Well, that's what the girls are looking for, too, a rich guy. It's what everybody wants. Everybody wants to be comfortable. I don't think anybody says, boy, if I could just marry somebody
I can marry
really
a poor broad,
that would really solve all my problems.
But do you really think a lot of guys, in all seriousness, want to marry into a rich family and just shut it down? And actually provide?
Yeah.
It wasn't the way I looked at things early on, but if I, knowing what I know now, I shouldn't say that.
But you'd still work, though, right? Would you still work?
Sure.
Yeah. Teach some golf.
Assuming all things were equal, that you love two people exactly the same, and you can't decide which one you're going to take, you love them both to death, I think most people would go for the wealthy one, wouldn't they?
That's probably fair.
I agree with
that. They may not admit it, but...
Yeah. I mean, I would be... If my significant other made, a few hundred grand a year and needed me...
Well, you'd be good
...to
then.
Stay home
well,
and
you'd
provide
do so well.
For our 2 to 5 children...
Yep.
I would clean the house every day. I would have, like, a nice little... Like, just every cleaner on my side, just
on the
cleaning
belt,
everything.
Belt it
because
up.
I don't care. If my gal has money and we ballin' and I get to, like, chill by the pool or be in the nice, you
would
know.
Would you consider an older woman who's maybe divorced or widowed who has some money?
Now, you
got to
throw an age out
and
there.
And maybe
how old would you
20
go?
Years older, 30 years
would
older
Would you marry
you?
A 50-year-old broad?
I think 55 would be the max.
55. I'm at 70 now, probably 69.
Yeah, hell, I'll go 80 if she's got bucks. I don't give a...
60-year-old can look good, though, so maybe I'll bump it up to 60.
That's why you go to Filoni.
Because there's a considerable amount of women who would marry a guy twice their age if he could take care of them and give them the lifestyle that they want.
Sure.
A lot of women find that very attractive, that kind of security and that lifestyle. They do.
I would think the woman would be a little, and I guess they don't, but like you walk into a place and you see like a 75-year-old woman with a 30-year-old dude. It's got to be embarrassing to the woman. She look what I got. Well, you know why you got them? Because you're rich.
That's
well,
not embarrassing when you're carrying around a Louis Vuitton purse.
Isn't that embarrassing?
How many guys have you seen at
guys
the bar?
Don't care.
Now, wait a minute. How many guys have you seen at the bar that all of a sudden have some fine-looking 20, 30-year younger gal?
Not bars, but there's a cocktail party I go to every year right before Christmas.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many, well, I'm not saying 80, but in their upper 60s with guys that are like 34.
Yeah, one of them's the president.
No, you know.
He's going the reverse, though.
You know. That, no, the old lady and the younger guy. You're with her. Now, you can say, well, we're in love. Well, she's wealthy, I'm sure.
I've always,
there aren't many 35-year-old guys that are looking for 70-year-olds.
No, but there's a lot of 70-year-old men looking for 35-year-old women.
Yes. Yes.
Based on the way they look. And the women are looking at that same man, you know, not a lot of them, but the ones that do, based on his financial situation. At least,
and love.
At least the women are coming from the higher moral platform, I think.
True love.
Because at least you can control how much money you have. That guy got there because he's done real well. He has put on the effort, and he has been highly successful. You can control that, and a lot of women find that, you know, very...
I mean, you're kind of asking...
But a lot of women can't really control how they look, so we're judging them just based on the superficial, how they look, and they're judging men on at least what they've accomplished.
You're kind of getting a salary to be a showpiece and to bang every now and then, and I think for me that is ultra attractive. For myself, I would love to be... I will never be in that situation, but, I mean, if you're going to, you know... smother me with gifts and live in a nice little square footage.
Have you thought about taking
crib?
A job as a pool boy, maybe in Ladue or
Cabana
something?
Cabana guy.
Huntley. Yep.
But I love my gal, so we're talking about this all hypothetically.
Of course, right. All of us.
Well,
are.
You could have her on the side.
I think she wouldn't mind a salary as well. So I think we'd all be
the two of you.
So you'll have a.
As Jay Giles once said,
situation.
Jay Giles once said, first I look at the purse.
What does that mean?
Well, you're looking for a wealthy broad.
Hey, celebrate the repeal of Prohibition Day.
He wouldn't have needed that.
Well, look.
Giles made plenty of money.
Look, this fits right in. Watch. Listen. What? Celebrate the repeal of Prohibition Day with Budweiser's limited edition 1933 Repeal Reserve Amber Lager. After all, it's a tribute to our freedom to brew. It's a rich amber lager with higher alcohol by volume than Budweiser and is presented in a classic stubby bottle, Doug. The vintage look is inspired by 1930s style of beer. The 1933 Repeal Reserve is in stores now, but don't wait. It's selling out quickly. We're hosting a repeal party at Filoni's on Tuesday, December 5th to commemorate the day of Prohibition's end. 590 The Fan will be on remote at Filoni's all day to celebrate. There will be AB Brewmasters and brand ambassadors on hand, plus special giveaways at the Prohibition party. Keep listening. More details to come on this great event. And I bring that up because, as Iggy mentioned, Filoni's, isn't it known for a kind of a spot where you can...
no question.
You can kind of mingle if you're single.
Cougar.
Some of those bras have been through Prohibition.
Oh, come on. You'd have to be in your 90s to have gone through Prohibition.
Once in a while, I guarantee
if they've got money.
Iggy and I used to have some fun at Filoni's, boy.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Clinton.
Yep.
Jerry Clinton was there?
Oh, yeah. He was a fixture.
Jerry Clinton hung out at Filoni's?
Absolutely.
He would walk in a black turtleneck, black pants, black glasses, and the place would, like, part for Jerry to walk in.
Well, I expect someone who was worth about $100 million, he could do pretty well anywhere.
He did well there.
He might hang out at the Ritz. Filoni's worked better for him.
He was the king.
Yep.
Doug, you were saying that women... love the financial security of an older man. And the text line, Ace from the South says, Doug, I love your security every night.
Oh.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Are you a local security guard?
I am.
After you get off your shift at the big channel?
I may someday take that kind of gig, but for now, no.
Mm-mm. Somebody says, worst take ever, Chuck. I'd marry a real hog if she had tons of jack and I could just shut it down. I mean, that's pretty close to the dream.
I love that guy, too, because that could be more spot on for me.
I do think, let's be real, it's kind of emasculating if you were, and Plowsy, you said you'd enjoy it, but after a while, if your woman was the sole provider, I think that could
be
a situation.
It'd be embarrassing. I don't think as a man, you're manly.
What's
who
so embarrassing
it.
About it?
Are you kidding me? If I'm rolling up in an Audi, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing embarrassing in that.
I got my little girl operation downstairs.
I would love
video
for
games.
Some wealthy Swedish woman to knock on my door and say, okay, you're mine. Come on.
I know.
Hook you up to a leash. All
right,
you're
going
home with me.
I'll do it. Just give me. Can I play Candy Crush?
I know a guy, or met him, who has been a house husband his whole life. His wife is like a heart surgeon. And makes a ton of money, and he was the one who stayed home with the kids, and they're very happy.
He doesn't feel bad about it, does he?
I don't think there's anything to be ashamed that your wife is a high achiever and making buku bucks. I wouldn't be embarrassed by that at all.
The best to me would be to get the gal that got married for about 6 or 7 years. Her husband had a ton of jack. either he passed or she got the dough and...
And you're living off him.
Now she's ready to go.
In Canton, it was an odd thing. Like, you didn't go by money because nobody had money. You would go by, like, if you...
Farm tools?
Implements.
How much cattle?
Yeah. And no, like, if a guy, let's say a guy, for instance, had a relationship in high school with a smoking hot female...
Right.
He would then try to impregnate her and basically try to wrap that one up Yeah, you try to wrap that up before you let her out on the
lock implement. It in.
And kind of like a Piscotti Carlos Martinez contract where it's, you know, user friendly at the time. Yeah, because, you know, once you go to the open market, your team has no
don't
chance.
Don't you know there's a ton of women who do that to men?
I agree, but it's weird rolling Canton where it's reversed to where the guys know that they won't do better even at 16 or 17. So they just kind of cling on, and that's when the baby comes.
I always admired the Weatherwax dude,
Earl
Rudd,
who started
Rudd Weatherwax.
No, who started dating
Earl Weatherwax,
Georgia Frontiera.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was like that.
Just went to party after party.
Yeah. Really didn't know much about the guy. Except they had a ponytail and
nice call on Weatherwax. Yeah.
Dating an old bro.
Now Rudd Weatherwax was a guy who trained Lassie.
Really?
That's why I said Rudd Weatherwax. This is Earl Weather. Maybe they were related.
Yeah, Earl Weatherwax.
Let's break down Earl and Lassie in the next hour. This has been a good one. It's brought to you by Design Air Heating and Cooling. It's important to have your furnace checked every year to ensure safe and efficient operation. So we recommend that you call Design Air, that's AIRE, who have been serving St. Louis since 1904. Seth Goldkamp and his family are fourth generation owners. Design Air technicians don't work on commission, and they provide fast and friendly maintenance or emergency service. Doug, the cat, and Tim are all Design Air customers. Schedule your fall furnace check today or for the winter at 314-739-1600 or online at designairservice.com. If you're in the market for a new furnace, be like Doug and make your house more comfortable than you ever imagined. Again, that's 314-739-1600 or designairservice.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Next hour, Kelly Chase at 8:45 talking Blues hockey, fun with audio, and a whole lot more as we get you prepared like nobody else can for Thanksgiving right here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.